Yo, what up? It's your girl V Henny Man. You already know the vibes. Welcome to the Artistry where we talk shit about music, entertainment, and the everyday struggles.
Yes, sir.
And you know how we do, man. We always have a dope guest in the building. We have recording artist. He reps the South Bronx to the fullest. We got your boy, Elijah the Boy.
We in the building.
What's
we're here.
Good. That's good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm
here. Man, listen, I want to say welcome to, you know, to mi casa.
Yes.
You understand? I appreciate you taking the time, being here. There's a lot that I definitely want to dive into with your story. But before we dive into anything, I just want to do a toast. I want to say congratulations. You know, like, I see you, you understand, doing your thing.
I'm so trying.
This is for you, man. Let's do this.
Cheers. Cheers to you, too.
That's that bamboo. Let's do this. Good. Open it up. You know, the more you drink, the more you talk.
So. I talk regardless.
So you can talk. You know, you can drink or you not. Let me stop. We want you to be vulnerable.
Let's do it.
Nah, but definitely, man. Listen, I want to say, like, I've been, like, you know, doing some research on you because I know of you.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that you have the relatable music, right? I find dope about you is your story.
Yeah.
So, I, like, learning the fact of how, like, you know, your mother being a single mom, you know, she got pregnant at a young age, your father passing away at a young age as well, you know, so, like, looking back to all the obstacles you overcame, how was it, like, growing up for you?
You know, it's crazy. When you're a kid, you don't really feel that,
right?
Like, it's like you learn how that affects you as you become a man, as you become, like, whatever later on in life. So, like, growing up in the Bronx and dealing with all that, to me, it was regular.
Okay.
Like, at first, like,
right,
it felt that way, but as you start, like, going more out there to the world, and now that off my music, I'm blessed. I travel a lot and I do certain things. Now I started realizing when I have a conversation with certain people, they'd be like, "Nah, bro, that's not regular."
You feel me?
So now later on, I start feeling like, "All right, this shit is it affected me differently." But I think I kind of like how my story happened, even though it was a hard one.
Okay.
Because my mom is, like, the influence and drive for everything I do.
Okay.
So,
okay,
like, for her, like, yeah, I dealt with my dad passing and all the stuff, and my mom having me young and my uncle passing and so much, like, deaths in my family. But those deaths happened really when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I look at how my mom dealt with that. Mm. And so when I really look at that shit, I'll be like, when I think about life and the shit that I go through today,
okay,
my mom's the happiest person in the world.
That's dope.
So when I look at that, I'd be like, yo, it really influenced me to be like, bro, it's not that serious. Like,
shit could
be worse or shit like that.
Nah, and that's dope because, listen, I get it. My mom, like, seeing her struggle and everything like that, it definitely taps into your influence overall.
For
so
sure.
That's dope that you guys have that relationship, and where you're at now, you know, like, you guys, she's seen so much.
Yeah.
She's seen your growth, you know? Yeah. So that's super dope. Like, what's one of your most proudest moments you've achieved within this process of just, like, where you, from looking back to when the realization of everything you dealt with to where you're at now?
I mean, I had a couple moments, you know, along the way, you're going to realize those moments.
Right.
One of my first moments, I think, is when I flew my whole family to Hawaii. And
okay.
We was just there, and it was off. I had a show in Hawaii.
Dope.
And we was there, and I was just like, sitting back, kind of thinking, like, on an island, on a beach house in Hawaii, like, bro, I'm here off music.
Mm.
And my family's experiencing this with me. And we from the Bronx. Like,
right.
I still, a lot of my homies, they still doing the same shit. So it's like, when I look at it, I'm like, yo, this ain't normal to experience this stuff, especially where we from.
Because we
got to fight for this shit.
It's different. People don't realize it's different in the Bronx.
It's super. Not only in that, like, if you come from a struggle in any hood, like, it's kind of just like, the way I look at it is like, it's normal to us. Mm-hmm. But like I said, when you go out there to the rest of the world, people don't realize how much that shit affects you, or how hard it is, or how people don't even strive for more because they're taught to be in that same environment always, and it's passed down from their family. And it's not nobody's fault. It's just like, it got to click for somebody to change that mindset.
Right.
And I feel like now, though, a lot of people are, it's clicking for a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
I'm seeing more creatives out there. I'm seeing more people do a lot more, so.
Nah, definitely. I'm seeing, like, a lot of people are breaking those generational curses.
For sure.
Which is a dope thing, right? But it's like, it's a dope thing, but then again, it's like a gift and a curse where it's like you have to go through whatever you have to go through in order to like see like, nah, I don't want my future, which is your, if it's your kids or whatever, right? Yeah. Future self, kids, whatever, to deal with what we dealt with or our parents dealt with.
For sure.
You
for
know? Sure. So knowing your struggles, knowing the hustles, everything again, like you've been accomplishing, right? Like I wanna know then, at what given moment did you realize, like, this was your purpose?
So I started doing music when I was, I remember the day, like, the time. I was, like, 11, 12. Okay. I wrote my first rap. And I remember being, well, I used to, one of my homies, so I lived in a building. Like, it had, a, like, a regular building.
Right, right.
Right? And I lived on the sixth floor. And my one of my bros, he lived on the fourth floor. But he was always by himself. Like his mom, she was kind of in the streets doing crazy stuff. And she, but he was like a block baby. So he was raised by the building, kind of, right?
Right.
But I would always be in his crib. And when my mom was at work or whatever the case, so I'll be in his crib. And they used to play, I remember MTV used to play just music videos on.
Like TRL and stuff like, yeah, like that?
Yeah, I think it was like Channel 188.
Okay.
Back in the day. And I'm watching these videos, and I'm just like, the way they tell their life story in like a 3-minute instrumental, I was like, yo, I want to do that. Okay. And my mom, she used to be heavy in music. Like, she bought me my first stereo. She used to always be dancing. Like, I got videos of her when I was a kid just singing and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, she was into, like, Usher, Biggie all the time, playing it throughout the crib. So, and since we were so close in age, like, I would just naturally get that from her. So, around that age is when I first started writing music, but I was ass. I'll be honest. I was ass. I thought I was good. But I was ass. But
wait. When was the last time you heard yourself?
I heard myself not from when I was 11, but I heard myself from when I was in high school, like ninth grade. Like I signed into some old email. I was like, oh, I remember the password. Right, so I'm trying to get something from it. I was ass, bro. But I thought I was nice.
Right.
For what I was at the time. I had potential.
You had potential. Okay.
I had potential.
You was Deke ahead of the time.
Yeah. There was something there.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't quite there, but there was something there.
But you know what, though? Like, when you look at it, right? Like, because we all have those moments where it's like, all right, yeah, we started. You know, we love the come up of how you start, right? But let's keep it a stack. Like, when you continue to go in within your craft, your artistry, you start realizing that, damn, I really wasn't taking it serious.
So
when can you say you started taking
I know the
yourself?
Exact moment. I was in college. I did a semester of college.
Okay.
Right. I didn't really go to college. College to me felt like the 13th grade. I went to City Tech in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And when I went, it was I really just went because I was the first person in my family to ever go to college. But I didn't really go. I didn't take it serious.
What were you studying, if you don't want me to ask?
It was like graphic design or something. Because before rapping, I know how to draw really well. I don't show that side, but I could draw like I draw my mom. I could really draw.
That's what's
and that
up.
Was like my first passion. And my mom was the influence for that too. Because when I was younger, I was like kind of a bad kid. And she would like, she knew how to draw an owl and she'll tell me to mimic it just to stay still.
That's dope.
And that was like my first taste of like creativity.
Nice.
Right? So that's what I went to college for. And I remember, I forgot what album came out. I think it was What a Time to Be Alive. Came out.
Okay.
And I was listening and I was just like, yo, I could do this shit. Like, I was in college, like, yo, I could do this shit. And I was rapping prior to that, but like, in like high school and middle school, I started rapping to mainly impress women. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll try to rap, make raps for girls in high school and shit like that.
Right.
I ain't take it serious. At college, that semester, I was like, yo, I want to really take it serious. So I remember I was doing college. I was working a 9-to-5 job at the World Trade Center.
Okay.
And I was and the only studio time I could get was a producer. His name was JoJo. He lived in Staten Island. So picture this, that this is me living in the Bronx.
Right.
Going to college in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Taking a ferry to Staten Island to record music, then after that, going to my 9-to-5 in Manhattan.
Wow, that's determination.
Yeah, but that it clicked for me because I was just like, yo, I could do this. Like, people always were telling me, like, I'm nice.
Right.
But I never really was, like, pursuing to be a rapper for real.
Okay.
And then at that moment, I was like, nah, I'm going to do this shit. Because I forgot what line I heard, but it was like, it was so ass that I was like, these guys are making millions of dollars and I could do this shit. Like, so I ended up like taking it serious from that point on, and I made a project called Before I Make It. And then I put that out, and then I went viral with a 10 toes challenge, and after that, I just kind of kept going. And I actually knew the 10 toe challenge was going to go viral.
Did you?
I told my mom, like, I don't know why, but like when I did it, I recorded it like 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
I know I'm gassing it. I recorded like shit like 12 times.
Okay, okay, okay.
But the last time I got goosebumps. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, yo, this shit makes me feel warm. Mm. I was like, I don't know why. So I remember, I'm still living in the Bronx with my mom and shit. And I go to my mom, like, yo, mom, this video is going to go viral. And I remember I was talking to a girl at one time, and I told her, I was like, yo, I just did a video. This shit going to go viral. I posted it. I went 20K followers the next day.
That's dope. That's crazy. Because when I was listening to that, right, you know, you gave me, and I could tell that you're an Eminem fan because,
OD.
Right? OD. So like because of the way you know, like your vocals, right? So when you was rap, you know, like saying, you know, like your verse and everything, I felt it, and I was like, yeah, you could tell he's an Eminem fan. And for me, I love Eminem. He's a
I know
dope.
Every lyric. Like that was the reason. That was my first CD my mom bought me. Like I remember being like 12 years old, jumping on the bed, like singing D12, D6.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
all that shit. Like I was just into it, and it's songs that I shouldn't even be hearing at that age, but my mom let it rock.
It's
and,
high.
Yeah, so it was just like, it really influenced me. He was the reason where he told the story, like, in a 2-minute, 3-minute instrumental, you knew about his whole life, you knew about right. his daughter, knew about his ex, knew about his mother. So that's what, like, that was the approach I took with it when I first started making music.
Okay.
But then later along the way, I was like, yeah, I also want, I got different sides to me, you know? Like, I'm the guy that want to be relatable, that I'm also the guy that will go to the club and fuck the club up, and I want right. to have some turned up shit, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I was like, I try to do it all.
Knowing that, you know, because, yo, like, listening to you speak, obviously your mom was heavy involved.
Super.
So, like, when you decided to be like, yo, this is serious, like, she was okay with it at first? Or, like, did she feel like, this is just a hobby, he might get back to, on track?
So, my mom was always supportive of the music. Like, okay. I remember, like, in the beginning, like, I really did the groundwork. I'm talking about free shows at clubs.
Okay.
I remember when A Boogie first came up, I was doing shows with him at clubs when he first came out, like, doing in, like, little clubs in the Bronx, like, holding the wall spots.
Right.
I remember doing talent shows where it would look like my show because I'll just have so many people come, like, family. Like, I'll go and be like, yo, meet me at this location. I'm giving you tickets. Like, I'll do all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, so she saw it, and she really thought I was good. But no mother wants to be, like, I remember telling her and my stepmom, because I was raised by women.
Okay,
so
yeah.
My mom, she's lesbian. She's married now, and they both raised me since I was, like, well, my mom raised me since I was born, but my stepmom raised me since I was, like, 10, 11.
Right, okay.
And I remember coming from work one day, and I was telling her, like, I told both of them, I was like, yo, listen, like, I'm dropping out of college.
Mm.
And they were just kind of like, yo, are you sure? I was like, yo, I really want to take music serious. Like, I think I could do it. And they didn't, it's not that they were against it. They were
nervous.
Super nervous. Like, they were just like, yeah, you know, nobody where we're from made it as a rapper.
Mm.
In Hunts Point, where I'm from, like, there ain't nobody that got as big as me at this point. So
okay.
It's kind of like, they were just like, I don't know. But then when they started seeing me make money from it and started seeing me tour and then started seeing me seeing all these shows and shit, now it's undeniable. Now my mom be telling my little sister, like, yeah, do it, post it, do it, nah, nah, nah. Like, she would. I made it easier for my sister to also want to pursue making money online because
right.
I was able to break that. And I tell my sister that all the time. I'm like, yo, you got it easy because I had to make my mom, right. our mom believe in us, you know, like not make her believe in us, but like I had to make her, you know, but I was like, but now she's seen me do it. So she's more lenient if you want to try something. You
okay.
feel me? So, yeah.
Which is dope. I
Super.
Mean, but it's dope, but it's like you said, like, it's like you had to break that barrier.
Of course.
So it's a lot of tension. It's not a tension. There's a lot of pressure in a sense.
Yeah. But it's not, I don't I always think of it like it, I don't blame. Because it's like, I don't blame my mom or nobody because at the end of the day, it's like, they ain't never seen nobody do it. It's like,
right.
it's like if you ain't never seen nobody do it, it's hard to believe in it. Especially when people are like, you know, they're older and their mindsets are a little different. They come from she was raised a little different than
right.
I am in this generation, you know. So I never blame her for it. She was always supportive though, but like she was skeptical at first. Now she's like, biggest fan. Like whatever I do, she's like, singing word for word, calling me, like all that stuff. I don't get to see her as often as I want to anymore, but
but
when I can, I just saw her the other day, brought her some flowers for National Women's Day and shit like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because knowing, you know, like, again, knowing the story of your mom, you know, raising you, everything she dealt with. Then, you know, your grandmother fighting demons, obviously your stepmom raising you.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does that influence you respecting women?
Super, super. I try to be, obviously, you know, you're going to be the villain in somebody's story.
Right.
That's just life, you know, and we go through certain things. But when it comes to the women in my life, I try to be like super honest, especially with what I recently went through. Like I was in a relationship for a long time and then got out of it, got cheated on and shit like that. So with that, I was just, now I'm just like, I'm at a space where I'm not trying to lie to nobody or also not trying to like, I'm not trying to like string nobody along as well. So I like at this space that I am right now, I tell them, like, I'd be like, yo, listen, this is where my headspace at. I want to give this to my music. I need time to also deal with what I'm dealing with. And I try to be upmost honest, but you know, in my experience, women feel like they could change you, so they end up getting hurt regardless. But I kept it a buck, so it's on them.
But you know what, though? Listen, and it's true. You got to keep it a buck.
Yeah.
So, at that given point, when if they decide to take that initial step forward and be like, you know what, let me see if I could, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't want to take it, you know, take anything away from
it. But I tell you, we can talk about whatever.
But you know, and we're going to definitely tap into the fact, to the fact of you, you know, speaking about getting cheated on.
Yeah.
You know, I you can tell you was kind of going through stuff.
Yeah, I was going through a dark time.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. And I was like, yo, you know, you're in that process of growth. And we already know, with growth comes change, right? So it's like, I noticed that you had tweeted last year in June how you never felt more alone and misunderstood in your life.
Yeah.
So I want to know what and why were you feeling like this?
Damn, I tweet a lot of shit.
No, you do.
Let me see. I mean, it's just chasing this music shit and chasing, it's like we're selling ourselves, you know? We're trying to make people believe in what we're doing.
Okay.
And just all this stuff. And like, I feel like certain times, I feel like an outsider in this music stuff sometimes. You feel me?
Okay.
Just because right now, it's not about who makes the best music or who works the hardest. Sometimes it's just about shock value and what is more appealing on camera and what da-da-da.
Right.
And to me, I never really been about that. Every time I went viral, it was for my lyrics, it was for my pain, it was for something that I really felt, whether it was me rapping to my mother, who I genuinely feel like, you know, she gave up everything for me and I owe her. Or it's me rapping to my little sister where I genuinely feel like I've seen so much things with women that I'm trying to tell her, like, this is what not to look for. Or even with heartbreak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like sometimes it's a little, it feels like...
Like you gotta do too much?
Not only that, it just feels like, I feel like I said, I feel like an outsider in this shit sometimes because... Like, I do feel like I do a lot of stuff, and I put out a lot of music, and I try to relate to a lot of people, but sometimes it gets overlooked. And then also, I was dealing with, like, you know, the relationship I was in and just stuff like that. Sometimes this shit get lonely, but I'm always the type, like, I ain't gonna lie, I'm emotional sometimes.
Right.
I think every artist is emotional, so we just go through shit. But
well, what's your sign real quick?
I'm a Leo.
Oh, okay, you guys are very self-centered. Let me stop.
Nah, that's what girls tell me all the time. Bro, I swear to God, I talked to a girl, she'd be like, what's your son? Back, I'm a Leo. She'd be like, oh my God.
You guys are fun, though.
Super good time.
Yeah. Nah, but you know what, though? Like, going back to what you was mentioning, like, you know, obviously you was dealing with, like, as an artist and even your personal, right? It's like, I get it, right? Because again, like, people look at you and they have these expectations, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the beauty to what you're doing is that you're building the longevity with your support system as far as your fan base and everything like that.
That's my main focus.
Right.
Like, I want to feed them. Like, and I've noticed that, like, there's been times where I felt like I started doing shit to feed the masses instead of feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And it, not that it backfired on me. It did well for me. But it was like, for example, when I did, like, Send Them Up and those songs, I did them because, like, you know, like I said, I'm... My first album was titled Mood Swings for a reason. Like, I'm the type of guy, like, I want to make a love song. I want to make a personal song. Then I want to make a turn-up song and go fuck the club up, or I want to do certain things. So with all that, I felt like when I did that, I noticed that when I did certain shows and when I did certain things, like, it was like, you gotta decide which fan base you want to cater to, because certain people are going to be there. They're not gonna be the buy your merch, buy your tickets, buy your to the type of fan.
Mm-hmm.
They might like you just for that song,
right?
And then when you cater to people emotionally and connect to them emotionally, that's when they turn into all that. And that's my main focus right now, like, creating diehard fans.
Gotcha. I know you mentioned before how you feel like you're which you mentioned beforehand, like you felt like you was a little different, right? But you mentioned how you feel as if you're a non-New York artist. So yeah. What separates you from being a typical New York artist?
It's not that I don't feel like I'm super New York. I'm from Bronx. My story's super New York. Everything's super New York. It's just that the music that I gravitate to sometimes, I'm the type, I have so much going on in here that I might do a drill song, but then I might do a slow R&B song, and I might do a fucking house song, and I just like being creative.
Right.
And I feel like in the city, it's not super appreciated at this moment. Mm. You feel me? It might be like, the type of music that's being appreciated right now is drill, and that's perfectly fine. Get your money. But it just feels like certain times for me, it just feels like the artists that are doing amazing stuff out here, because there's a lot of us that are doing amazing stuff out here that's not centered around drill music is not getting the light it deserves just simply because New York is putting the highlight on that, which is cool. Like it is what it is, but that's where that came from. Like, okay, like when people hear me and they discover me off certain songs. Cause if you discover me off Send Them Up, you're gonna be like, all right, he from New York.
Discover
me from Gotta Go, even Cry Me, you're gonna be like, all right, he's from New York.
Yes.
But there's certain songs, like when I did Red Light or even Over You, I don't sound like a New York artist. Or even songs like that, what are big songs for me? Even my old projects like Mood Swings, For You, all those other songs, kind of, they don't sound like, you won't think New York. And it's just because I'm the type, I listen to so much music that it just influences me differently.
Right.
I'm not trying to do one sound. I'm trying to cater to a bunch of people. And my fan base is mainly women. So it's like, if I could cater to them, I'm going to give y'all whatever I feel.
I mean, that's a smart thing to do regardless of what, because, you know, I'm like, that's 80% of your attraction, yeah, you know? Like, bro, you know, sure. And I think it's definitely smart, you know? It's not that it's sad, but it is sad where it's like us New Yorkers from the Bronx, right? It's like sometimes our hometown is like the last to support in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like that as well?
Yes and no, because at the end of the day, like I remember doing a meet and greet in the middle of Times Square and 1,500 kids came out.
Okay.
And I'm an independent artist. So I remember I had my boy from Hot 97 pull up, Juanito, and he told me, he was like, yo, it's hard to get New York to support you when you're independent like that.
Right.
And for them to pop out like that. I've sold out shows in New York City. So I can never take that for granted and be like, yo, New York, don't show me love.
Okay.
Nah, it's never that. It's just that, I don't know, it's some artist shit. Like, we be feeling like we need to be
I just feel
things.
Like sometimes it's more based on popularity.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, I'm always looking at it like, you gonna know eventually.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
It's cool. I can only put out my art and let them receive it, and they do what they do with it. At the end of the day, I can't force people to choose, but I know in my heart, eventually y'all gonna catch up. I'm just ahead of the curve right now. It's cool.
Okay. As a Latino from the Bronx,
yeah.
And you already know, like, from the Bronx, knowing the culture, knowing the history, do you feel like you have some big shoes to fill?
Super. I just feel like, as far as, you know, I'm Puerto Rican Ecuadorian.
Okay.
And
you eat, like, Ecuadorian food or not?
Yeah.
What is it?
Chaufa.
You ever had cuy? Is it cuy?
Yeah, the guinea pig.
You ever had that?
Yeah, I had that once. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
But I was raised by my Puerto Rican side because my dad was the Ecuadorian one of my family. And when he passed, my mom, like I said, my story is kind of crazy. My mom, we lived with my dad. When he passed, we just left because my mom was kind of just like, there's no point of being here. He's not here no more. It kind of feels weird. And we kind of lived on a lot of people's couches. I lived in Boston, Connecticut, all that shit.
Wow, okay.
Then I came back to the Bronx. Mm. So I was raised mainly by my body side. But as far as there's not, especially in hip hop, when you're a Latino in hip hop, it's super hard. Even though we always been here.
Right.
And like we're a part of the culture too. Like you got Angie Martinez, you got Fat Joe, you got all these people that been here since the get-go.
Right.
And it's just a little harder because, you know, we got to overly prove ourselves sometimes, especially if we want to live in that hip hop space. But I'm ready for it. I feel like when it comes to my pen, when it comes to certain things, when it comes to just all that stuff, like I could be up there with the big dog. So that's how I feel. And you got to feel like that as an artist. So, but I definitely want to get more into Spanish music as well. But I did one Spanish song and it did really well for me. I'm definitely gonna work on a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like you mentioned, you're an artist, so you got to step out the box. You got to be creative. You know,
yeah.
Never hold yourself back. You know, knowing that you know, knowing that, like, everything you challenged, you was challenged with, like, recently, in the past 2 years, right? You know, I want to know, how did you battle some of your real-life experiences, and how did you were able to balance your career and your personal life?
That's something I always struggle with. Like, okay. I always used to tell, like, when I talk to my homies and we sit, I'll be like, yo, it was always hard for me to balance, you know, Elijah the boy, the artist, and Eli the son, or Eli the boyfriend, or Eli the brother. Right. Like, it was always super hard to balance all that, just because, like, with this music shit, especially when you chasing it and you like every day with it, it's like you gotta be selfish. And certain people around you don't really understand that. Like, certain people are like, oh, you acting different, or yo, you've been away, or you have been around. But it's it's like, yo, in order for me to make this pop, I have to, you know, deal with it this way.
Okay.
So it's always been a struggle with me, and it's something I'm still figuring out a balance for. But
do you feel like you at least getting, I guess, like moving step forward?
I think I am, but I think in this year I'm in my most like selfish era, and not to be like selfish like mean way. I mean, like, I'm focused on me. I'm a single man. I live alone. I'm doing all this stuff, so it's kind of like, yo, I'm focused on music. Like, it's like, I feel like I've given myself to other people, and it sometimes can become a crutch.
Right.
So it's like right now I'm feeling like, yo, I have to let me give myself to my music for a whole year, and let's see the difference. And if it works, then it was worth it. And if it doesn't, I still had to at least try. So
okay. What made you get vulnerable and let people know you got cheated on, right? Because let's keep it a stack. Like, usually the artist, the stereotype is in reverse.
Yeah.
Where it's like the artist is the one doing the cheating in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So what made you literally, I mean, I know you are open with your fan base, but what really made you open up and tell people like, yo, I got cheated on?
When I found out I was on tour, I just did the West Coast tour with...
With Fora, right?
With Fora, yeah.
Okay.
Shout out Fora. I was on tour when I found out, and I had, like, 2 shows left. So I was going through it. Like, even my business partner, Mike, he could tell, like, yo, something happened with this guy. But I didn't tell him what happened.
Okay.
I was kind of just dealing with it alone. And I don't know. When I got back, I was just feeling so dark, like... You know, when you go through that, I don't care what nobody says. You be the toughest guy.
Right.
Whatever guy. Love is break anybody down. Especially when you be vulnerable with somebody and you give yourself to them, and you know, you choose, because especially with men, like, we're very territorial, and when we choose a woman to be ours, like, we really like, and to the point where we're showing that to the world, and we're like, yo, this is,
yeah.
We take it like on a whole another level. So
I can't imagine.
So that shit, I was just feeling very dark, and I was just turning into somebody I didn't want to be. Like, I was, when I first found out, I was outside. Mm. I was drinking a lot. I was, you know, being with multiple women, just being hurt, you know,
right,
dark.
Right.
And when I made that song, I made 2 songs about it.
Okay.
I made multiple songs about it, but at that time, I made 2 songs about it. I made a sad song called "Broken to Pieces."
Okay.
And the Leo in me was like, "You ain't no bitch, bro. We ain't putting this out."
Right.
Fuck that. So the Leo in me was like, "Nah, we ain't. This ain't gonna be what we putting out." I was like, so I ended up making "Over You," and when I made "Over You," I felt that shit. Like, but literally, I called my producer, Navi. He'd been working with me for years. I called him. I said, yo, link me at the studio. I need a Jersey Club beat with a sad sample. The reason I came up with this idea.
Okay. What's the tea?
Nah. It's really a funny story. So I was at the club.
Uh-huh.
Like I told you, I was dark doing what I do. I was at the club. I went to this one spot I never been to. And
You was in the West Coast, mind you, right? When you
but I was already back in Jersey.
Okay, you're back
when
in
I made Over You, I already been back for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I was in a club. I went to this one spot. One of my promoter friends was there. I was like, yo, fuck it, I'm a slide. He was like, yo, I got bottles. There's females, pull up. So I slid. And so I didn't know, my ex was a bottle girl. So I didn't know that this party was like, the people that worked there were the people that used to work with her at her other club, because I'd never been to this club.
Okay.
So, mind you, this is fresh off the breakup. I haven't said nothing yet. She hasn't said nothing yet. So, nobody knows that we're broken up.
Okay.
So, I'm in this spot wilding. Feel me? I'm drinking. I'm pouring shots. I'm teed up.
Right, right.
Right? So, I'm in this spot. And I guess since the people don't know, her coworkers didn't know, they came up to me. One of them came up to me and they were just like, yo, why are you wilding right now? Like, aren't you with such and such? Like, you bugging right now? Da-da-da. I was like, yo, mind your business. Just like that.
Right, because right.
I was teed up. So I was like, mind your business. And then I'm just doing what I do. And she came back again and really annoyed me. And then afterwards, I saw the DJ play the Jersey Club song. Okay. And in the section, I see, like, I live in Jersey, but I see that, like, how they react.
Okay.
Like, they started doing the little hip shit, turning up. The girls are wilding. The guys are dancing. So in my head, mind you, I just made this sad-ass song. So in my head, I'm just like, nah, if I'm going to talk about this shit, I'm going to talk about it on a hit song.
Right, right.
That's going to get played in the clubs. That this is petty me. So right, I'm just right, like, right. I'm like, she going to have to hear this shit.
Exactly.
Everybody going to have to hear this shit. I was like, that's how I was thinking.
Right.
And this is petty me. Right now, I'm calm. I'm chill. I'm tranquilo. But there, I was petty. So I was like, yo, everybody going to have to hear this shit. And I took the approach because I remember seeing an interview with Drake where he talked about Back to Back.
Okay.
He talked about how Serena Williams told him, like, if you're going to talk about the situation, if you're going to go again, you got to make sure that it's a smash. And to the point that he got to hear it from every car coming out, every club. He can't get away from it.
Okay.
So that's how I was thinking. I was like, yeah, she ain't getting away from this one.
Mm.
So when I went back to the studio, I called my producer, went to the studio. He made the beat in front of me. And then after that same night, I wrote the whole song. He made the beat in front of me. I went back to my crib, wrote it in my crib, went back to the studio, recorded the song. Wow. And I'm calling everybody.
Right,
I'm calling
right,
my boy
right.
Juju. I'm calling John. I'm calling my boy Mike. And I'm just like, yo, bro, I just made some shit. Like, da-da-da. And I already knew what it was going to do for me.
Bro, you.
Yeah, I already
that's
knew.
But that's the consequence of dating an artist in a sense, right?
Yeah, I already told every girl after this, I swear to God, if I get another girlfriend and you hurt me, you gon' get violated in a song. I'm just letting you know.
I mean, you know, but it's again, that's what I feel like, yo, like people should know when dating an artist, it doesn't matter man or female, especially men though, right? Like
yeah,
that's the you guys are petty.
Super.
The pride. You understand? It's hurt, you know. So now I wanna know, like, I know you said, you know, you are good, right? But
yeah.
Let's keep it a stack. Like, how's your healing process?
I wouldn't say I'm 100% healed, but I would say that I would just say, and it's not even about like I don't know, because, like, healing processes are different. Like, when I was going through what I was going through, I thought I was getting healed, you know, dealing with everything I was dealing with. But then I realized, like, when you alone, you really let it hit you.
Right.
So now I've been more alone, and I've been chilling. And I think me is, like, I'd be naive to, or it would be a lie of me to be like, yo, I don't think about the situation.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Do I want to be back in that situation? Never. Because I don't spend blocks. But it's like, for me, it's just like, nah, never. But for me, it's just like, I note it. Like, I remember it, I note it, and I use it as drive to just, I'm at the point right now where I want to be the best version of myself all around the board.
Right.
So the person I'm with after that is like, all right, you get the best version of me because I had to go through this to get here. So
Right.
Yeah. So my healing process is still continuing at the moment.
It's dope, though, because at the end of the day, even though you was being petty, right, you were still able to transmute that negativity into a positive, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because, again, now you release this, and then you have all these people who are like, yo, I went through this,
bro,
I feel
you, but
this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, honestly, you don't even realize, like, at first, after I did it, I was like, damn, this is going to be a chapter in my story forever.
Right.
Right? And I was like, cool, but I'm cool with that because the amount of people that do approach me, I had somebody approach me yesterday when I left the club. They took a picture of me. They were like, yo, bro, that Over You song, I'm dealing with that shit right now. Like, da da da. So to me, it's kind of like, bro, like I if I had to be the person to go through this to make people realize, like, yo, you're not the only one that's going through this, it's cool.
Right.
And I had even other artists approach me like, yo, you different, bro, because I don't have the balls to talk about getting cheated on a song. So the fact that you was able to do that, most people wouldn't, like you said.
Right.
Most people would be prideful, egos, I'm the man. Right. But even in that song, I was like, nah, I got cheated on, but it's cool. Like, it's cool because I know deep inside that had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
That had everything to do with what you was feeling.
Right,
so for
right.
me, it's just like how I look at it is like, it's like, bro, I want to be super honest in my music. I even the women that I deal with now, I tell them, like, yo, I'm going to use you in a song. I'm going to write this. And however it sounds is how it sounds.
Right.
I don't care. Like, I'm at the point, like, I don't care how if this person feels away if I wrote this lyric, if this person feels, I don't care because it's for the art. Like, people love toxic shit in music as long as it's not about their life. You feel
right.
me? Man,
right.
I used to tell, because when I made Over You, my mom called me and I showed her it and she was like, nah, nah, like, you're being mean. She was like,
I love your mom. I don't even know her, but I was like, I love her.
She was like,
because she's being a woman at the end of the day.
Yeah, and my mom, she's been through shit. So right. she's like, she's kind of like, nah, nah, you're being mean, like, da da da. And I explained to her, I was like, yo, you only feel that way because you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
You have emotional history with the person I'm talking about. But if you didn't know me and I wasn't your son and some big artist made this song, you'd be like, this shit is fire. So I explained that to her. I was like, yo, you know, all the songs that you talk about that you listen to and all these other people listen to, they're toxic as fuck. It's just right. that you can't tie the faces to the toxicity, so you,
it's
you
not cool so close with it. To home.
Exactly. And right. I explained that to her. I said, I had to make this song. And then after it comes out, now my mom sang that shit with her chest when that shit
is she?
On. You feel me? So, so it's all good.
No, that's dope, though. I mean, listen, it's good to be yourself. It's good to release. I'm curious on the other song that you never released. Like, is that the one that you was just like, nah, I'm not gonna be a bitch. I'm
oh, Broken to Pieces.
So Broken to Pieces, though. Yeah. Like, let me ask you this, though. Did you get vulnerable to a part where maybe you got really emotional with that song? And that's probably...
It just feels like when I play that song, it feels super sad. Like, it just feels like...
Like some real emo?
Not emo. You know, I can relate it to... Post Malone Fall Apart.
Okay.
Like, which that I like vibe. That
song. But I was going through something dark around that song.
Yeah, yeah. So I can relate to that vibe. So it's around that vibe. And I'm not saying I'll never release it. I'm just saying, like I said, like for me to talk about that situation the first time,
right.
it had to be what it was.
Gotcha.
It couldn't have been that. If I would have went that route, I don't think it would have had such an impactful thing. Because also with Over You, to me, it's like a song that you could... Like, you don't got to be heartbroken to listen to it. You mm-hmm. can listen to it in the gym. You can listen to it in the whip. You can listen to it in the club. So, it's like, it made it. It was I knew it would have a bigger impact. And the right. fact that it had, like, the dance aspect to it and you know, what's now and then the sample in the beginning. Like, I already knew, like, all right, if I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to come out with this. And it's
right,
going to have
right.
it's gonna have a bigger effect.
Gotcha. Knowing that these past, I mean, you've been through a lot, bro. We've already, like, We're hearing it, right?
Yeah.
But you mentioned how you were at a dark place more or less like last year, right? Mm-hmm. Or the past 2 years in a sense.
I say last like 6 months.
Last six months?
I mean, the last 2-3 months, I'm good. But prior to that, I was...
Okay, yeah. But you was like in a dark moment and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So like when in that moment, because let's keep it a stack, like sometimes, again, as an artist, you are overly emotional. So sometimes you stay in a place of darkness. Like how did you... take the time to really take yourself out of that space? As a person, not even as an artist, just as a person overall.
Yeah, I mean, I always been like a super motivated person.
Okay.
So
okay.
like when it came to, like, I always been the type of person, like, I get depressed if I'm too still. I get super sad if I feel like I'm not working.
Okay.
I get like, that shit makes me dark. So when I was already dark, I knew that it was like, I remember, like, calling my business partner, and I'm like, yo, bro, like, I'm about to violate, bro. Like, I was like, yo, I'm about to turn up. We about to drop so much music. I'm about to take all this shit and just go crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I remember having that conversation where I'm just like, because that's just naturally who I was. And a lot of people not able to do that. Like, some people, like, they walk that path, and they go too left, and they're not able to get back on that path. And for me, I always been a person that I was just like, yo, whatever I go through, I'm not going to let it kill me because it's bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I ain't come this far to come this far. So I look at it like that. Like, it's like, yo, like, we ain't done yet. Job not finished. So right. it's like, bro, whatever you're going through, you're going to have to suck it up.
Right.
And like I said, my mom is also a big influence in that because I think about all the shit she went through. And if she could deal with so much deaths and, you know, her mother choosing drugs over her and still be, I swear to God, bro, my mom smiles every day. She calls me, hello, my handsome son. Right. Like, that's how she answers the phone. I don't see her upset ever.
That's what's
so up. If she could be like that, then a little heartbreak is cool. I'll get over it.
Right, right. Of course. Yeah. You're not, you know, it's not. You're not dying in a sense.
Yeah,
right?
It like, feel like that.
No, it does. But
at the end of the day, it's like, I know that shit only get better. Like, that's literally how life is. Like, I always tell people, like, yo, it feel like the end of the world till you wake up again.
Right.
Like, you know, so it's not, and I know that. And I feel like when you know that in your head, when you're going through dark times and you know that, you kind of just like, you're like, all right, this is how it feels at the moment. But like in a month from now, I might laugh about this shit, or I might joke about this shit, right, or I might talk to my homies about this shit. So to me, it's like I keep that in the back of my head whenever I'm going through dark times so that I know this shit's just a moment in my life. It ain't my life.
Right, right. You know? I know you speak on consistency a lot. Yeah. I was like, and do you feel like you was lacking that a little bit within the past 6 months or so?
I felt like not the past 6 months, because since the year started, I dropped music every month. I dropped Over You, then I dropped Freestyle in December, and then January I dropped a song. February I dropped Same Way.
So you've been doing like every month or so.
But
like,
I'm about to go harder. But I do think when I dropped Red Light, I was like banking on that record.
Okay.
But I think I was just in a space where, like I said, I was going through so much.
You were just going through
a lot. I was unsure of certain things. But I think you need that. You need that sometimes, because it's just like shit ain't always going to be uphill. Sometimes you're gonna tumble a little bit. So with me, that's how I felt. But the thing is, I never stopped promoting my records.
Mm.
Like, even with Red Light, like, I always tell people, even artists in the future, like, it don't matter how long a song's been out, bro. It really doesn't, because I remember I dropped Red Light a year ago.
Okay.
March 4th, made a year ago, right?
Mm.
And I remember nine months into the song being out, it did the most streams it ever did. Why? Because I put up a TikTok video and that shit went viral, and then it made it go up.
Right, right.
So that's why I look at, even you think of artists like Fetty Wap dropped Trap Queen, and 3 years later it blew up.
Exactly. Now you're right about that.
So it's like even recently, who's a recent one?
Lola Brooks.
Lola Brooks. I was about to say that. Lola Brooks been had played right. with it out, and now it's just catching fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not about that, because at the end of the day, the beautiful thing about being like an upcoming artist is that when you're in the beginning stages, you know, you new to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, like, yeah, my fans might know all these records, but there's still people who haven't even heard Over You. There's still people who haven't heard certain records.
Yeah.
So like for me, at that time, I was like last year, I only put out maybe 2 songs last year, but Red Light got what, like 4 million streams. So
wow.
For 2 songs, it's cool. But this year, nah, y'all getting signed for me.
Going in.
Every month, Cry Me drops March 24th.
Right, right. So I want to dive into that. Like, how did you, because you took a classic, Cry Me a River, bro.
Yeah.
That was dope. You understand? Like, that was another dope heartbreak. You know, like, he was like, he did a U in a sense, you know? Like,
but I flipped it.
You did flip it. Because I heard the hook. So what made you, what was the creative process with that?
So my business partner, Mike, he's good friends with a producer named Black Sun.
Okay.
And he hit him up because he thought he fits my style. And he was like, yo, I want to introduce ya. So Black Sun ended up sending me like a couple beats. And when he sent me Cry Me, I was like, yo, this shit hard. Like, mm-hmm. I already knew. Like, it had the beginning, Cry Me, and then I heard the drill drums. So the way I took on it was kind of like how I was feeling. So a lot of my records, bro, like, it's... I did a bar in a song where I was like, if I said it in a lyric, girl, you know the truth. Please don't pretend to be dumb. Like, it's like, if I said it in a song, it's true. I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with that. But this record, when I made it, I was like, yo, I want to flip it, because on Cry Me a River, JT's talking about, like, how he got cheated on. And he's like, yo, like you don't have to tell me. I already know what you've been doing.
Right, right.
In my sense, I'm like, yo, I'm not done with this heartbreak. I don't trust women. I'm on this sense where I'm like, I'm not letting nobody in. So whatever I'm going through right now, whatever you feel.
You're keeping it a buck with them.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to cry me a river. Feel me? Like, that's how I flipped it
Okay.
to be that way. And I knew I wanted to, I didn't know I wanted to take the you know, I had to say, well, we did. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that at first.
Okay.
I did that towards the end. Like, towards, I did that when we was already mixing the record. And I was like, I was in the car with my boy, and we was playing the record, and I started freestyling that part. And I was like, yo, what if I add that in? And then when I added it in, I was like, yeah, this is hard. All right, we do this.
And you're dropping it on the 24th. So by the time this drops, yeah, the single is out.
Yeah, and the video is going to be out too.
Okay.
Yeah, we shot the video already too.
Okay. So how was that process with the video? Are you part of the, like, your, any of your treatments when it comes to your video?
Yeah, so when it came to this video for Cry Me, I kind of let my boy Charles take the lead on that one.
Okay.
But most of my videos, yeah, like, I'm super, like, sending the ideas. Like, I knew for Over You, when I did the video, I was like, yo, I want to be at the bar. I want to be overly drinking. I want this to show everything I was really doing, which I was in the club drinking with a bunch of women. I really was. And I want that to show within the record.
Gotcha.
And so I did that, and most of the time, I'm a part of it. I'm, like, hyping the crowd up when we doing shots. I'm, like, super involved, super hands-on. I don't know how to not to be, because I've been independent for so long that it's, like, yeah, I got team members now. But prior to that, you know, I was solo dolo, feel me? So,
and that's not easy.
Not at all. But, like, I think it teaches you a lot, especially me. Like, I know a little bit of everything. Like, I know about editing videos. Okay. I know about producing a little bit. I record myself, like, all that stuff. So it's like, it's a good thing in a sense, because nobody can really play with me when it comes to, oh, this is going to take this long, or da da da. Or even when people are busy and I need to do something, I'll be like, all right, bro, I'm going to do this part. You do that part. Like, right. I'm able to speed up the process. Everybody hands on.
How does it go? How does one go about working with you? It doesn't necessarily have to be like an artist, just a person overall. They want to work with you. How do you go about that?
I mean, yeah, just hit me. Honestly, I answer a lot of DMs, but like I said, I was closed off for a while, but now this version of me, I'm very, like, open to just, you know, working with people, being more out and about, just being around the scenes a little bit more. Okay. Just because I feel like, you know, like, you just got to be that way. Like, I don't want to block blessings. And also, I meet a lot of dope people, too.
Right.
When I be outside. Like, I just came back from Miami, met a bunch of dope people. So, it's just, like, shit like that. Like, I'm very open. So, just hit me. Like, and if I'm with it, I'm with it. And if I'm not, I'm going to be super transparent.
The beauty to being independent, right? Because it's, like, being independent has its pros and cons. But the beauty to being independent is the fact of, like, again, like you said, you learn. So, it's, like, you learn to now how to protect your energy.
Yeah.
You learn how to, like, how to let certain people in, you know? So the fact that you have that partnership and you speak so dope with your, you know, like, with your team, it's, you know, it's dope, because, again, it's hard to get to that place.
Yeah.
Especially as, you know, like you said, you was doing things on your own and stuff like that. I also appreciate with you, like, how you are, you can tell, I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but from what you can tell is that you are all about your fan base.
Yeah.
That you can see. So, like, what's something you can say you appreciate about your fans or supporters throughout this process?
I just appreciate reassurance from them. Like, they'll hit me up and they'll just be like, you know, they'll talk to me. Like, I got certain fans that I talk to regularly. Like,
okay.
I got fans, shout out Nikki, Jessica, a bunch of people that just hit me up, and they'll talk to me. They'll tell me about their days, or they'll tell me about their families, or they'll tell me about how much my music done for them. So all that reassurance is needed, like, because this shit is, like, at the end of the day, we shooting in the dark here. Yeah, I believe in myself, and that's one thing I always had in me. Like, I super believe in myself, but nothing's guaranteed. So it's kind of like to feel that from other people and know that you're connecting with other people, and your art that you're taking your time with is actually, people are actually like, yo, I fuck with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that shit means the world to me, because it makes me keep going. Like, it makes me feel like, all right, we're doing something here. Like, something's getting done. It's not, we ain't moving. So it's like, it feels like I need that. Mm-hmm. So when I get that from the fans, it, like, means the world to me, because, like, I can't do nothing without them. You feel me?
Lastly, I want to know, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Did something for the first time. Fuck. Damn, what did I do for the first time? Shit, I don't know.
I'm going to take a drink while you think about this.
Yeah, I need one too.
right here. Take a drink. Which one you want? You want Henny Bamboo?
I killed it.
I didn't kill mine. I was so focused on. Let's do this. Hold on.
Yeah. Hold me up.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it.
Did something for the first time.
Something for the first. It could be anything. Could be anything. It could be from like.
Damn, I don't even know. I don't even know. I can't even think of. I don't know. I don't know. My life is
for a person who does a lot. There's got to be something. You try something new to eat.
Fuck. Try something new. Or yo, Mike, what we do for the first time? What's something we did for the first time?
That.
Yeah, we've been everywhere, bro. Oh, fuck. I don't know, man. I don't really don't know. I've been, my life is kind of like, right now, currently, my life is like super scheduled. Like, I'm in the gym a lot. Like, okay. I'm on a regimen a lot. Like, I'm trying to be the best version of myself. So I've been gym a lot. I'm eating the same type of food every day. Like, all I do is gym, make music, smoke hookah, and just be chilling. Okay. Like, but okay. I gotta think about it. I don't know. I mean, what you doing for the first time? You see?
This is not my interview.
This shit ain't an easy question.
This ain't my interview. You
shit ain't an easy
We're
question.
We're not interviewing me, Henny. You understand? No, I mean, but you know, like you have certain things. I would say for me, like me going, damn, now he got me thinking.
It's like, hard.
It is hard, but you understand? But there's moments, you know, like I had somebody who told me, like, yo, they ate ass for the first time. I was like, oh,
nah,
okay.
I've been to that.
Yeah, we've been, yeah. I mean,
I feel like when you're with somebody for so long, it's like, everything you do. You gotta spice it up.
Right. Sure. But I will say, though, you mentioned the gym. I've noticed, you know, obviously you're taking that, like I said, you're taking that negative into a positive.
Super.
Do you feel that maybe at one point in your life you kind of was addicted to the toxicity in a sense?
I'm still addicted to toxic shit.
Okay.
Like, not and music, I think musically. Like, the other day, not even musically. The other day, I literally, like, I stopped talking to some girl, and then I messaged her just to fuck her day up a little bit. Like, I'm still toxic a little bit. You feel me? Like, it hits me sometimes, but I've been trying to chill. Like, really, it's so hard, bro. Like, this shit is hard. It's hard, like, because, like, I'm the type of guy that I love women. So, okay. It's, like, it's really hard. And when I catch one that I vibe with, it's, like, hard, but I know at this time in this moment I gotta be single for a while.
Nah, you definitely do. Especially if you do what you do. That's petty as fuck, but you definitely, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like, yo, that's when people do the dopest music. Look at Mary J. Blige, like her first album. No offense. I know.
I wrote
some
crazy song the other day. Like, it's called Liquor Talking. Mm. And the bars in it is super toxic. Like, it's like me being super petty. And, like, I really like where my pen's going musically. As an artist, like, even a fan, I be a fan of myself sometimes. So when I come out and I look at hear the lyrics, I'm like, damn. So sometimes you could, like, I was talking to my boy the other day. Like, I was telling him, like, yo, bro, I'm going to chill off the women. And he was like, I ain't going to lie, bro. You kind of need that because you be writing some shit when you go through that.
Right.
So it's kind of like it's like a yin and yang type of thing.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're that's what I asked, if you're addicted to that toxicity.
Musically, yeah.
I think you're like, you're personal a little bit too. I think you're personal. Toxicity can be a little fun at times.
I would just say, like, yeah.
I'm not saying don't be toxic, people. Nah, but you know,
it depends. I'm young.
You know, you're young. You're single. You're living life. You have a career ahead of you. So I want to say, you know, like, definitely shout out to everything you've been accomplishing. It sucks that you couldn't tell me what you did for the first time. I think maybe, you know what we could say, you know.
I did this interview for the first time.
Boom. Aye.
Yes, sir.
That's how my mother
yes,
would say.
Sir.
You understand? Let's do this. Are you? But, you know, I want to say again, I look forward to your success. I look forward to your healing process. I'm big on healing.
Yeah.
Because, again, you mentioned earlier, generational curses. Mm-hmm. So because we, you know, as a Latino from the Bronx, you're just not only that, your background, your story, you know, again, we don't want to bring that to our future.
At all.
So I look forward to seeing what you're going to overcome, and I look forward to your, you know, your future. It's going to be dope. You understand? Thanks. This is not the first time, and I just want to say thank you again for taking the time. For those who are watching, where can they find you? All that good stuff.
Yeah, Elijah the Boy on everything, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, everything. My new single, Cry Me, drops March 24th. And after that, I'm going to be dropping the project. So we just doing a lot of music, a lot on the way. And yeah, pressure.
And y'all already know, man, there's no reason why you should be following the man. All his information will be in the description box below. So all you got to do is tap into it. You understand? You already know, man. The lover boy right here, toxicity is just... Now, let me stop. But yeah, it's your girl, pull B-Henny, man. Pull
slide
up.
On me.
Exactly. Slide on him. It's your girl, B-Henny, the artist. We out, man. Rock out with your cocks out. Jam out with your clam out. Bow. Yeah. Yeah.
Rock out with your cocks out. Gotcha.
Yeah.